Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 8th Perek, Perek Ches of Sefer Yeshayahu. At this point in time, again, Yeshayahu is addressing the king Ahaz. Ahaz is under a tremendous amount of pressure as he is besieged by Ritzin of Aram and Pekach ben Remaliahu from Israel in a coalition seeking to replace Ahaz to create a puppet state to support them in the coalition against the rising empire of Assyria. So in this parak, we're going to focus on some of more aspects of Yeshayahu's personal nevuah. As his nevuah turns very personal, the crystallization of his nevuah comes through his family once again. The first section of the parak describes how he makes this command to write down on this parchment, onto a gilyon gadol, in very, very legible terms, to write down the words Maher Shalal Chashbaz, which is essentially the repetition of the idea of there being spoils, which will be bespoiled very fast. So there's going to be a fall of someone, and the spoils are going to be taken very, very quickly. And he then says, I'm going to take two true witnesses, to read this, and their names are Uriah HaKohen and Zachariah ben Yevarcheyahu, who are going to be the witnesses to this testimony. And then he describes how he's going to come to his wife, and she will have a child, and he's going to call this child the same name, Maher Shalal Chashbaz, that the spoils will become fast, and that's what happens. He has this child, and before the child can call mother or father, the army of Damascus will be removed and no longer will be besieging Israel. This is the first step of the Nevuah. First, just appreciate this in its context. We're going to do this parak piece by piece. Why is the name repeated? It seems to be repeated, the Mepharshim point out. One is to describe Aram and the other one to describe Israel, that there'll be spoils in both Aram and Israel, who seem to be the aggressors now but will soon be the victims. It seems like he's writing it down for future generations. Who are these future generations? Well, he says the people are Uriah, HaKohen, and Zechariah. Who are these people? So the Gemara at the very end of Marcos, famous Gemara, is actually referring to this pasuk. The closing Gemara in Marcos tells us that Rabbi Akiva asks the question that Uriah and Zechariah lived in very different generations. Uriah was a contemporary of Yirmiyahu, the prophet of doom at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah is the Navi at the very, very end, at the period called Shivas Zion, after the Babylonian destruction, after the Persians take over. Zechariah comes back to the land of Israel, and that's when his prophecy is set. So how could they be talking about, how could he be putting the two together? So that's where famously, Rabbi Akiva explains what Yeshayahu means, is that there's just as the Nevuah of Uriah, which is the same as Yirmiyahu, which is the Nevuah of destruction, is going to come to place, so to the Nevuah of Zechariah, that Oid Yesh was the Kenev Zekenos Berechovas Yerushalayim, but there will once again be the young and old will be populating the streets of Jerusalem. So it's connecting, it's sort of the connection of the destruction and the resurrection together. It is interesting to note that once again Yeshayahu over here is making the Nevuah very, very personal. It's about his personal relationship with his wife, his personal relationship with his son, is going to explicate this whole process. Once again, the Mepharshim point out that in a certain sense, the physical manifestation of this is concretizing the Nevuah in a way that it can't be altered, which is very, very fascinating. It is interesting to note that there is a debate as to whether this is a different son to Immanuel. Remember that in the last parak, he called the son the name Immanuel, which is Hashem is with us, and that represented the fact that Israel will be saved. Why does he have another son called the name of the destruction of those tribes? So there's some of the Mepharshim say, well, you know, like the Malbim says, the one is to describe the destruction of the enemies, and the other one is to describe the salvation of Yehuda, which is one way of looking at it, to two different children. Whereas Rashi actually says, interestingly enough, it's actually the same son. Really, there's not a son number two and a son number three. It is really the same child. It's just the mother calls him Immanuel, and the father, Yeshayahu, calls him Maher Shalal Chashbaz, which gives a little bit of different perspective, how in a certain sense the mother and the father, looking at the same child, see destruction and consolation within the same child. Anyways, we move now into the next step, in which he now turns to the people and he says, these people seem to dislike the Mei HaShiloach, the waters of the Shiloach, which again is a spring which supplies Yerushalayim. They say it goes too slow. says, well, I'm going to bring the river which is going to flood you. There's going to be the river which is going to come and flood all its banks, and that and Yehuda is going to be west swept away. That refers to Assyria. This prophecy seems to be to the people of Ahaz, because in the kingdom of Ahaz, there seems to be two factions. The one faction is going to be the faction who wants to join the coalition of Ritzin and Pekah, and the other faction says, no, let's now use this as an opportunity to side with Assyria. It's the process of Geula is too slow. So says Yeshayahu, on the one hand, don't side with Ritzin, they're going to be destroyed. On the other hand, don't fall for Assyria. You think the process is too slow? If you think it's too slow, I'm going to bring the river and flood you over of with Assyria. Then he turns outwards. In the next step of the Nevuah, Yeshayahu turns outwards to the rest of the nations, and he says the famous words, "Utsu Eitzah V'Sufar, Dabru Davar V'Loyakum Ki Imonu El." This, by the way, is, of course, we see this in the Al-Tira at the end of Aleinu L'Shaber, for those certainly of the Chabad Nusach who recite this at the end of the Aleinu. This comes from Yeshayahu in our Perek Ches, and it's basically, you should try making your Eitzah, your counsel, that'll be annulled, because whatever you speak about will never come to fruition, because Hashem is with us. And once again, Immanuel, of course, is the name of his son, representing how Israel is going to be saved despite the plans of the nations. So it's almost like Yeshayahu is pivoting to many different audiences. He's pivoting to Ahaz, don't join them, they're going to be destroyed, like my son's name is Maharsha Ashalal. Then he turns to the people, don't join Assyria, because they're going to sweep you away, they're not going to be your friends. And then he turns to the people, the nations of the world, and says, don't worry, Israel is going to be saved. So he's sort of balancing all the different forces, because ultimately everybody thinks force is to be found in a certain sense, a human form. And Yeshayahu is trying to tell them, it's not in human form, it's in God, trust in God. And that's why he goes into the next section, where he basically says, Lo Samrun Kesher, don't try to rebel against Ahaz. Don't say that you can go again with Assyria, because why? You know what? Es Hashem Tzvakos Osot Tzakdishu. Sanctify Hashem, Vuhu Marachem, Vuhu Maritzchem. Hashem will be your strength and your fear. Voyal Mikdash Ulaeven Negev Ulatzur Michshol Lishnei Bote Yisrael. And ultimately, he'll be your protection, but he'll also be your failure if you don't trust in him. People will be tripped up in him if you think you're defending Israel by seeking other factions, by seeking coalitions with either Ritzin or with Ashur themselves. Don't put yourself in the middle of the game of loyalties. Then finally, Yeshayahu turns almost in a sort of tragic way, and he says the following: Hinanochi vayaladim asher nosan li Hashem loisos ulemavsim biYisrael meim Hashem tzolakos hashechayim b'Hartzion. My children are a sign, or signs and wonders to all of Israel from Hashem. Meaning, in a certain sense, Yeshayahu has turned himself from the private individual to the public persona. My children are even an expression of what Hashem wants in this. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing this because I need aggrandizement. I don't need the money. I'm doing this because I'm expressing Hashem's will over here. And finally, he closes the parak with the last few very curious psukim, where he turns and he says, and don't think that you can search out the avos and the yidonim by matzav tzifim by manhigim. Don't look to the dead. Don't look to the soothsayers to try to find out what the truth really is, because they are really in darkness. They don't really know. You're not going to find out anything from them. What is he doing? Why is he talking about this? Why is suddenly this a reaction? So actually, it's interesting that Rashi points out, quoting Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Simon Be'era, that this is actually a prophecy which isn't Yeshayahu's himself. It comes from Hoshea ben Be'eri. Hoshea ben Be'eri is going to be a prophet just a little later on. And these psukim were actually Hoshea's nevuah, and they were implanted into Yeshayahu at this point in time. But they were actually dedicated to the north, to the tribes of the north. It's fascinating that they implanted over here. Well, we do see something interesting about this nevuah, and I think it's relevant, which is why it's implanted over here. And that is that sometimes we get these nevuahs, and sometimes we get the truth, and we hear it slap bang in our faces. And Yeshayahu is telling it to everybody. He's talking to Ahaz, he's talking to the people of Ahaz, he's talking to the factions, he's talking to the nations of the world. And then you know what people say is they hear the truth and they say, you know, I'd really like to hear a second opinion. You know, I respect your narrative, but I'd like to hear something else. I just want to verify this somehow. So Yeshayahu is saying, I'm speaking the word of God. My children are the word of God. What are you doing? Why are you searching around? You need to go look into the horoscopes in the newspaper to try to figure out if what I'm saying is right. You're trying to go find a soothsayer who's going to corroborate or disagree with me and then say that that's going to be your narrative. Yeshayahu says, wake up. Wake up, stop looking around. You're hearing it. Take it, live it, change your life. That's what Yeshayahu is saying, and I think it's so relevant to the lives that we lead. How many times do we hear the truth and then we move away from it and we try to find some other thing we can put our, hang our hats on? And this is what Yeshayahu is saying. Listen to what I'm saying, because if you don't listen, it will be your failure. And that's the way he ends this prophecy. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.